been looking at the book of Joshua and the people of Israel entering into the promised land. And the big insurmountable obstacle in their way is the city of Jericho. But before they get there, they have to cross the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is at flood stage and up around the banks. And at the same time, they've transitioned leadership, which is another part of the obstacle to overcome, is because Moses, the only leader they had ever known in their lives, has gone on. And this guy, Joshua, has taken his place, and they're not sure about him yet, because he's new. And you know how God's folks like change. And so they come to the river. And God instructs Joshua, what we're going to do is, see, the ark is going to get carried in there first. And as soon as the ark gets carried in there, the water's going to stop. And y'all going to walk across on dry ground. And after everybody's across, then they're going to carry the ark on off. As soon as they're through with, got the ark all the way through, then the water's going to start again. Joshua says, all right. They started the Exodus with God opening up the Red Sea. That one split open when Moses stuck a staff in the water. They're going to end the Exodus with crossing the Jordan River. And the water's going to stop when they carry the ark in. So I want you to find with me Joshua chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 24 of Joshua 4. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. Okay, now that doesn't mean they're there to now. That means they were there to the this day when this was written down. So there's a time lag between the time the event happened and they wrote it down, and they were still there at the time they wrote it. I don't think you could find them now if you went looking for them. Although there are people who tried. Verse 10. For the priests who carried the ark were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that the Lord had commanded, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed. And when all the people had finished crossing, the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh crossed over in battle array before the sons of Israel, just as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 equipped for war crossed for battle before the Lord to the desert plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him, just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony that they come up from the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, saying, "Come up from the Jordan." By the way, you notice how that works there? God says, "Joshua, you say this." And then Joshua says that. It's amazing how things work that way when you do what God tells you to do. Verse 18. It came about when the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come up from the middle of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up to the dry ground, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and went over all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. He said to the sons of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall inform your children, saying, 'Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done for the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed.' That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Yeah, that was not last week. June 19th, 1981. The point of remembrance for us. Is that Sandra and her first husband? I was a third of the man I am now. And I had three times the hair. Mm-hmm. Yes, and that was with the haircut. Oh, gosh. Just in case you're curious, it is difficult to find size 14 triple E white dress shoes. Just in case you're curious. We have those points in our lives that become a point of remembrance, where something significant happens and we do something to remember it because it's such a significant event. You have a wedding, you have people take lots of pictures, probably even videos. And you remember it because it's a significant event. Even folks that elope get somebody with the phone to take a picture of it because it's significant. God told Joshua, after some of these guys had already crossed the Jordan, and the only ones left out in the middle were the priests, kind of hanging there waiting for everybody to get through. And he says, "Now you go back into that." And they could see the great big huge pile of water up above. The scripture said it was piled in a heap. And he says, "You go back in there and you grab 12 rocks." Okay, and we're not talking rocks. We're talking rocks. And you grab 12 from right around where their feet are. And you bring them back over here. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of the ones that has to go back, okay? We've already crossed the thing once. We're safely on this side. And here he comes telling me to go back in there. When you go on a trip and you forget something, do you have a limit to where you won't go back past to go get something that you forgot? You know, if it's not important, I ain't going to go from the gate back to the house for it. Okay? But if it's my wallet or purse, okay, we'll come back a ways for that. Yeah. My brother had come to visit us in Albuquerque one time, and when he took off, he left all of his shirts in the closet hanging up. And so Dad says, well, I'll see if I can catch him before he gets to Klein's Corners. Past that, he can buy new shirts. Okay. I wouldn't have gone past Moriarty. But he says, you go back and you get some rocks. And you carry them back here. And we're going to make a pile of these rocks back here on the bank of this river. So that from now on, every time you see that pile of rocks and someone asks you, why is that pile of rocks there? You can say, because that's where God brought us across the river. That's where God helped us across. And you can tell your children that too. You ever have times where you have something that you use to tell your children the story? We showed our kids the video of our wedding once, and our only thought afterwards, we will never, ever do that again. Cotton-picking kids have opinions that I don't want to hear. But it was a point of remembrance, a place for you to remember and teach your children. Marriage is that way. Birth of the children are that way. In our family, we have before Marilee and after. Marilee doesn't think anything existed before Marilee times. And Cheryl and Jeremy will sometimes get chastised. That happened before Marilee. It's not important. And they take issue with that. But it's a significant milestone when the child was born. Salvation is a significant milestone in our lives. That time where we gave our faith and our trust to Jesus Christ and God came in and changed us and made us new and forgave us is a significant milestone. I often tell people to take a Bible and write it in their Bible that day so they have something to remember that day. Baptisms are that way. Always tell people to invite your friends and family to come see you get baptized. And we take pictures so that there's a way of remembering that significant milestone event. Ordination is often that kind of event. But very often, a special significant ministry can become an event, a significant milestone that we remember and make memory of. We ask folks, do you remember the trip to Puerto Rico? Do you remember the trip to India? Do you remember the trip to Klagato? And there's a sense of coming together for a milestone of that occurring. Remember when we built the building? Do you remember when we had an event that was significant in your lives? Make a point of remembrance. And when that happens, everybody does their part. You see, this obstacle before them was not an individual obstacle. It was a group obstacle. They all together needed to get to the promised land. And Jericho was in the way. And the River Jordan was in the way. And God is making it through. And every one of them had their part. Most of the folks, their part was just to ignore the great big huge heap of water and walk across. Now, I don't care who you are. If you're being told to cross a river that 10 minutes earlier was flowing like crazy and now is just piling up on one side. And they're telling you, you go walk on across there. You're going to keep an eye. You're watching over that water and all of a sudden you see fish swimming in it. And you hope they're not big fish. Okay? And you're wondering, how's God holding all that up? That he don't explain how he does stuff to you all the time so you don't need to know? And you're going, but God, if I don't understand how it works, I don't want to believe it. Except you're looking at it and it's working and somehow God's doing it because he kind of tends to do those kind of miraculous things. And your job is to do nothing but walk across. And several times it said, and hurry on across. Okay? You have someone in your family that you can't get to go anywhere, anytime fast? Anywhere fast? They have to. It's amazing how many people got pointed at in the last 30 seconds. And you try and get them to go somewhere, and they always find 57 other things they have to do before they can go. And you're standing there going, let's go. And they're going, just one more thing. The whole Columbo routine through life. Just one more thing. He told them, your job is to get across the river, not to look at all the rocks on the way. Your job is to get across the river, not to count the fish in the pile of water. Your job is to get across the river, not to look for shiny gold things on the way. But everyone does their part, and some of them, their part was to walk across. Now, there are about six priests who their part was to hold the poles holding the ark up on the shoulders while everybody else went. Now, I don't care who you are, you got to work together for that kind of thing. You've got to lift together, you've got to hold together, and you can't decide, oh, I have to go scratch something, you hold my part while I'm gone. You have to stand there and hold that. Some of you have been at funerals where you've been a pallbearer, where you actually ended up moving the casket. They do an awful lot of it with a cart now. But some of you old enough to remember actually carrying a casket. And have you ever seen one where somebody tripped while they were doing that? And all of a sudden they're not working together because it's tipping over one side pretty hard. The same thing with the ark. They've all got to do their part. And just stand there while everybody else walks by. Now, the estimated numbers for people coming across here are anything from a couple of 100,000 to a couple of million. And you can fight with whatever theologian or historian you want to fight with, or whatever number makes your monkey smile is going there. But it takes a long time for that many people to walk past you while you're standing there. You ever had a flat tire on the side of the road and watch people drive by and wonder how many people can drive by this? Well, it's worse when you just stand there holding something heavy and you just stand there. Great big huge box made of wood with gold covering it. Their job was to walk to the middle and stand there. Would not want that job. But then you had the 12 guys that he sent back. They did what everybody else did. They scurried on a cross like they're supposed to, but then he says, by the way, you special 12. And anytime you're in a group like that and the leader calls you special like that, okay, when you get voluntold and that kind of thing, you go back and grab a rock and carry it. We're talking rock. We're talking rock. And so they're grunting and groaning and straining, and they're carrying their part. But then Joshua's got his part too. Joshua is the one who's in charge. Joshua is the one providing leadership. Joshua is the one providing direction. Joshua is the one hearing directly from God and the one speaking directly for God. And this is long before they had loudspeakers and sound systems. And over the rushing water, his voice has to be heard on both sides of the river. And he gives directions. Everybody had their part. And everyone did their part. And I can just hear somebody now. What's the deal with Shmuel? He gets to carry a rock. What makes him special? I'm stronger than he is. How come I don't get to carry a rock? The other priest going, well, they get to see everybody walk by. We're just supposed to hurry on by. And they're standing there watching everybody, and everybody sees them. Well, I guess who's going to be in charge of funeral service next time? Fuss about who's in charge. No. Everybody does their part. It's amazing how much can be done when everyone does their part. But the recognition is different. Each person received different recognition. That's just the nature of what life is. Verse 14 says, on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel so that they revered him just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. The people who walked had the same courage Joshua did. The priests who held the ark had the same courage Joshua did. The men who went back after the stones had the same courage Joshua did to cross the Jordan River while God held the waters up in a heap. But God chose Joshua to have the necessary leadership role. And this event was used by God to cement his leadership role. He split the river. They could walk across on dry ground just like Moses did at the start. And God got the glory. But sometimes the recognition is different. It's amazing how much more can be done if we're not fussing over who gets the credit. The recognition can sometimes be different. So how do we deal with the insurmountable obstacle? Some walk. You know how difficult it was to trust God to step out to walk? Sometimes the most difficult step in any journey is that first step. Whether it's a journey to sobriety, a journey to health, a journey to reconciliation, is that first step to step out and start moving. The second step's a lot easier, but that first step can be awfully tough. Sometimes folks just need to step out and walk. Some folks need to carry. Each one of the 12 guys carrying a rock had to carry the rock all by themselves. I'm sure they got tired. I'm sure they wished there was a relay team. But the instructions for God, 12 men, one from each tribe, will get your rock and come back. It's hard work sometimes. It's difficult. You pick up your rock and you carry. Sometimes you have to work together with others. Get a bunch of folks that always work on themselves and can't get along with anybody else and always want to carry their own rock and tell everybody else to go home because I got my rock. And then you get them trying to carry an ark together. And you can't decide to be jumping up and down while you're carrying the ark. Because all the rest of the guys, you're going to mess them up. You have to work together. You say, but I could pick it up a lot faster than he can. But you have to slow down to work at his pace because you're working together. Sometimes the hard part is saying, I will work together. Some to lead, to stand and speak. Jesus had a job. Jesus had a role. Jesus went to the cross and gave his life on the cross because we needed to have our sins paid for. And we couldn't afford to pay for our own sins because we didn't have a sinless life to shed. But Jesus did. And so he gave his life on our behalf And he went to the cross to pay the death that we should have paid, to pay the price that we owed. And his death on the cross was Jesus doing his part. Our part is to repent and trust and obey. You see, he doesn't face this insurmountable obstacle of salvation and make us face it all on our own. He paid the price, and we accept his gift. He doesn't force it on us, but we choose to follow him. We have a lot of insurmountable obstacles in our lives. Financial, moral, religious, church. Things that are bothering us that we can't see how we're ever going to get our way clear. And here comes Jesus saying, I went to the cross so you could follow me. And we follow him and watch him do what he wants to do. Will you do your part? Take your step. Pick up your rock. Hold your pole. Will you follow him as he instructs? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please hear our prayer. Please hear our prayer that we may serve you and follow you and trust you for salvation, for growth in our lives, for recognition of your place as Lord and Master and ruler of our lives. Father, please forgive us of our sin and come into our hearts and give us leadership and guidance and direction that we may follow you. Help us step out from beyond our self-centeredness and laziness and fear and step up to trust you and follow you and do what you want us to do. Thank you for holding back the waters that will sweep us away. Help us to trust you that we may get across. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.